We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Come on,
I want to start this podcast off by saying, rest in peace, AJ Johnson, probably most widely known as Ezell and Friday, 55 years old, rest in peace. Winston from Sex and the City, young man, 50-something years old, just died. And then the trifecta, Melvin Van Peebles, the godfather of black cinema, died at the age of 89. Probably none of the movies that you've ever seen that you love, and probably none of the biggest black stars in this world would even exist if it wasn't for a trailblazer like Melvin Van Peebles, who passed away at the age of 89. 89 is, I know people say he lived a good life and all of that, but he meant so much to so many people, and especially his son, Mario, who's a very good friend of mine. I reached out to Mario today. I didn't expect any return text, but I felt it in my heart and soul to reach out. Melvin Van Peebles deserved his flowers. And a lot of people in cinema, from Spike Lee to Issa Rae to anybody else that you can name, is definitely on social media giving flowers to Melvin Van Peebles on his passing at the age of 89. A man who walked into New Line and tried to get Who's the Man 2 done, offered to buy the rights to do Who's the Man 2, and New Line wouldn't sell it to him. And still, this is a true story. I've never said this before. For some ungodly reason, don't want to do the movie. I've heard inklings of what happened. Dre and I were portrayed in a bad light. We were portrayed and betrayed at the same time by people who we thought had our best interests in mind, who ultimately had their best interests in mind. We were blamed for delays in shooting that we didn't cause. We were blamed for delays that were caused by a novice director who was a friend of mine until the day that he died, by the name of Ted Demme. But there were people behind the scenes that decided that making Ted look good was more important than the reputation of two young black men. These are white people who decided behind the scenes that the reputation of a young white film director was more important than the reputation of his two black stars. So Dre and I were blamed for over-budgeting and delays, things that we had nothing to do with. Melvin and Mario Van Peebles walked into New Line with a checkbook and offered to buy the rights to Who's the Man so they can shoot a Who's the Man 2, and still were not allowed by New Line to purchase the rights to do the film. That's why you've never seen another Who's the Man. That's exactly the reason why. And these are things that I didn't know for 20 years, but was told to me. And it's the God's honest truth. And there's certain people that used to be friends with me that were in my corner that I will never talk to again as long as they live. And I don't blame Ted. It wasn't Ted Demme's fault. But those people know exactly who they are. So I say rest in peace, because if it wasn't for Melvin Van Peebles' sweet, sweet backs, badass revenge, and all the other things that he put his hands on, getting that was in the cinema at that time had to be a tough thing to do. You know, we all know we don't control the theaters or how many theaters our movies see. So for him to be able to accomplish what he accomplished as a director, open the door for every single black director that came behind him. And I just wanted to say rest in peace to him. On a lighter note and a good note, Scarface from the Ghetto Boys, from Texas, who represent Texas, put Texas on his back, top five in a lot of people's categories, is one of the best MCs ever. His son is giving him a kidney. So hopefully Mr. Scarface will be around another 20, 30 years. We hate to see our greats pass away so soon. So good luck to Scarface. You're going to hear from Scarface in this podcast. The first time I met Scarface was via Yom TV Raps. We had the opportunity to go to Houston, Texas, and to the wards where they were from to film Yom TV Raps. And I had never in my life experienced that kind of poverty before I stepped foot into the Fifth Ward of Houston, Texas. I thought New York poverty was bad. It paled in comparison to what I saw in Houston. It's the first time I've ever saw a shotgun house and understood what a shotgun house was. While it was explained to me that a shotgun house is a house that you can open the front door of the house, shoot a shotgun, and open the back door, and it will go straight through the house. That's how small the house is. That's how the house is just built. Straight through. Everything is on the side. So these houses are not that big. If you ever visit Atlanta, where Martin Luther King Jr. is from, there's still some of those houses standing to this day. But that's the first time I had ever seen that and was taken around Houston and shown that Houston is just like Compton. Compton is just like New York. New York is just like Chicago. Chicago is just like Little Rock, Arkansas. We are all one and the same. Detroit is the same way. We all have hoods. We all have ghettos. It's just different because of where you are. But it's pretty much the same. It's pretty much the same. And thank you to Scarface and Willie D and Bushwick and Jay Prince for showing me this. Something that I had never seen before. I had been to L.A. I had been to the hoods in L.A., but I had never seen that before. I had never seen Houston ghetto. Never. And ghetto that was worse than our ghetto. I had never seen that before. And I'm happy that Scarface's son has stepped up, is going to give his dad a kidney to help save his dad's life. I'm very happy to hear that. And y'all will hear from Scarface. Scarface is dope. It's just no other two ways about it. As a recording artist, Scarface is dope. And I think sometimes we get caught up and we forget how dope Scarface is and was. The clarity in his voice, the way he put his words together, the music that he gave you. One of his greatest achievements, one of the records that really put the Ghetto Boys over the top, was a Scarface penned record. And I believe he produced it too. Mind Playing Tricks on Me. Why do you think Scarface has three verses on that record? No, he does in reality have three, but you hear him spit two, while Willie D spits one and Bushwick Bill spits one. Well, the one that Willie D spits, I make big money, I drive big cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, is the verse that Willie D wrote for the song. The verse that Bushwick Bill spits, "This year Halloween fell on the weekend, me and Ghetto Boys trick-or-treating, rhyming little kids for bags." Scarface wrote that. The whole record was a Scarface record. Those three verses were Scarface's verses, and then they put Willie D on it and made it a Ghetto Boys record. That was originally supposed to be a Scarface solo record, for real. Big up, Scarface. Y'all gonna hear from Scarface in a little while.
Come on, son.
Right now, there are some African Americans with sickle cell disease who need a blood transfusion every single month just to stay alive. And they are more likely to get a compatible match from a donor of the same ethnicity. So please donate, because our blood saves lives. Go to redcrossblood.org/ourblood. Find out where and what time in your neighborhood now.
Come on, son.
Call me crazy, but my secret to leveling up is a McDouble at McDonald's. Man, I'm talking about throwing some fries and sweet and sour on that thing. That's right. Right in between those buns. Come on, son. Now we talking good. Try it out the next time you're at McDonald's, and I bet you can't stop. It'll be a new thing. Listen, Mickey D's has all the go-to munchables to add a little more flavor to your day. From the two-for-one apple pies to a large fry or even a frozen drink. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. And don't forget, you can order ahead on the McDonald's app if you're in a time crunch. Mobile order and pay at participating McDonald's. Download and registration required.
Come on, son.
Welcome to the podcast, y'all. Did I get to say that? Did I forget to say Combat Jack's name? Thank you, Combat Jack, for being the battery in my back to make me podcast. I'll never forget you, and I'll always love you for that, because this is an outlet for me unlike any other outlet that I've ever been involved in my life. You know, it just makes me feel like I'm invincible when I'm podcasting. Like, I get pretty much, I'm able to say whatever I want to say. And that's the beauty of podcasting. That you're able to say whatever you want to say. So y'all going to hear from Mr. Scarface himself, in an interview that I did with him a while back. And I got my patented, come on, son, coming up. It's Come On, Son, the podcast. I'm Ed Lover, man. Scarface time.
Come on, son.
Loving it.
Tell me about this new book, bro.
Shit, that was fast.
Yeah, we gonna jump right into it. I'm at work.
I dig.
I warmed up already.
Exactly.
That damn paper. Tell me. Tell everybody the name of the book before we get into it.
Okay, the name of the book is The Diary of a Madman by Brad Scarface Jordan.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's me.
That's you. Like, we don't know that.
Yeah, it's cool.
What's good with it, man?
Everything cool.
What made you decide to do this at this point?
In my career?
Yeah.
I hit a beat. Like, every time I hear a beat, it's, like, distracting as fuck. I be, like, wanting to answer your question, but I be listening to ba ba. I got a one-track mind.
Yes, you do.
Like a motherfucker. So if I hear a beat, it's like, what did you just say, Ed? What was the inspiration behind this book? Yeah. Or why did I do it?
Why'd you do it?
Somebody said that I had an interesting life, said I should write a book about it.
All right, so what was the inspiration about behind it?
My interest in life?
Yeah.
The interest in life was
the inspiration. I mean, no, your inspiration for writing a book was your interesting life.
It was totally, somebody talked me into it.
Okay, would you had ever thought about writing a book at all?
Fuck no.
No? Why not? You didn't think people would be interested in knowing?
You know the old saying, man. You want to hide something from it. You know what, seriously? Like, I figured people would want to be, you know, interested in reading. That music came back on the
phone. Okay.
I would be interested in reading about a person that they, you know, admire. You know, my music. A lot of people like my shit. So,
yeah.
I think that book is going to open up and give them an inside, you know, front row seat to what my real life was like.
Cause right.
I didn't hold no fucking punches. I threw every punch in the first round.
Okay.
I was done by the shit. I was done in the 12.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I held no punches, and I told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about me.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
Like, I told the world about my life.
Okay.
In a book. And hopefully that would encourage a lot of my peers to fucking open up books and start reading.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, that should be some encouragement.
Yeah, because you see a lot of other shit on social media, and, but you hardly see somebody saying, listen, I'm reading this book right
here. Right, right. Now you're reading it.
Right.
And I got proof. Like, I see niggas with books now.
Have you been out on a book tour? You on a book tour doing book signings?
I'm not doing no book touring. I'm just doing some hanging out and okay. letting everybody, you know, creating awareness about it to let people know that it's a book that's out there.
Okay. Have you been going to like myself? Have you been going to like Barnes and Noble and spots like that and doing book signs?
No, not yet. I'm not going to do that.
Should no, why not?
Like, I don't want no fucking signed book.
Yeah, hey, dude, like, yes.
That shit like an album cover or something?
Yes, yes, it is. Oh, yes.
Boy, shit. If you want your book signed, I'm signing this shit.
people want their book signed, man.
I ain't got no problem with that.
That's like having a vintage, like, We Can't Be Stopped album that's like signed by you that they didn't.
Signed.
Yeah, that you didn't open, yeah, that you never opened.
Yeah, really dope.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope.
I'm serious. People want that shit, yo.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Ed.
Or like your first album. Your very first solo album. People yeah. want the shit. Oh, see? You are doing a book signing. You see what I tell you? Powerhouse Arena, 37 Main Street, Brooklyn, New York. That's when you're doing a book signing.
I am?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So wait, is they got an arena like I'm doing a fucking concert?
No.
I ain't doing no concert.
No, man. Is that a bookstore? It's a bookstore, Powerhouse Arena. 37 Main Street, Brooklyn, New York. You're doing a book signing from 7 to 8:30 tomorrow.
It's Brooklyn in the house.
Right, and watch how they
turn out.
Watch how they turn out for you. Watch.
What, you saying the place is going to be empty?
No, I'm saying it's going to be... No. You know, it's going to be packed, man. Mind playing tricks on me. That you wrote three verses for.
Yeah, it was original. It was, like I said, originally it was my record.
For Mr. Scarface's Back?
For the Mr. Scarface's Back album.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And from my understanding, I think Jay was playing the We Can't Be Stopped album for priority and was taking some of my stuff up there also to get a budget open. You know, and this is all what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Because when he came back from L.A., that shit was like, yo, we got to put this on the Ghetto Boys album.
Okay.
You know, Willie, you know, he called us all to the studio, and Willie wrote a verse to the shit, and then Bill took my third verse.
Okay.
So originally it was me, one, two. That's why I rapped twice. You only rapping two times, and then Willie, well, it was right. me two times, and then this year Halloween fell on the weekend. That was my third verse.
Okay.
All right.
So you just gave it to Bill. You gave Bill. You did Bill a favor.
No, it wasn't like I did Bill a favor. It's like maybe Bill had did me a favor. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, they probably, you know, it remains to be seen that if was the record going to be just as big without Bill or Will, then that, you know,
mm-hmm.
we can't really say.
That's right.
Because, in my opinion, the visual made the record. The song is fucking hot like it is, but I think the visual really made the record big.
And you produced the record, too.
I produced that record.
Where you find the beats at? What was it about that beat that you found? I saw one time that you were saying that you got the hook from your grandmother always saying,
my mom playing tricks on me. She'd be mumbling shit off and looking for shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she'll say, I just went minus. Like, that's her word now.
Mm-hmm.
Went minus. Like, it was my mind playing tricks on me, and that's minus.
Right.
And if a motherfucker's fucked up and he ain't got no money, it's like he's down on zero. Like, my grandmother has some sayings for you.
Yes, she do. Yeah, Trump said you could write
album song title.
Exactly. Down to zero. So where'd you find the beat for Mom Playing Tricks?
It wasn't, man, you know we don't reveal it. We might as well, yeah. It was an Ozzy Hayes Hung Up on My Baby.
Okay.
And then, you know me, I'm a Marley Marl fucking student.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to it, you know, I kind of sampled, I can't remember the breakbeat, but it did kind of resemble the Picking Boogers breakbeat a little bit.
Okay.
I'm probably one of the first producers that'll say that, like, I fucking grabbed a lot of shit from Marley. You know?
Okay.
I grabbed a lot of shit from Dre.
You okay.
You feel me? I grabbed a lot of shit from Tone Capone, you know. Like, those were early influence, Joe, N.O. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those were early influences on my sound. So why not jam like that and create my own shit? See, that's the problem with music today. Everybody trying to sound like everybody else instead of doing their own shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get what you can get from this kid and this kid and this kid or whatever and then create your own shit and be, you know, original.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now everything just sound like one long-ass motherfucking song. God damn, that's, you know, rap, hip-hop sound like house music now. Like, fuck, that's a... What is that shit called? EBG or EDM?
EDM?
EDM. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, oh, that shit sound like porn music right now. Cool, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
It all sounds a fucking same. Yeah. Like, when did the Rap-A-Lot stuff end for you? What year was that? And why did it end?
My Rap-A-Lot stuff ended Def Jam days.
Okay.
And then we started doing some ventures together. Mm-hmm. You know. And here's the thing about Rap-A-Lot and Def Jam. Like, I don't want to be an artist. Nobody's artist no more. I don't want to be signed to nobody's label. You feel mm-hmm. me? Like, Jay's a boss. And Face is a boss.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we can do some joint venture shit together. But I can never be, you know, your artist anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to never do that. I'm not going to never be anybody's artist anymore. And, you know, we kind of outgrew each other as far as that relationship was concerned, that working relationship is concerned. Like, we're not working together as an artist executive. We can work together as two executives.
Right.
You know, but not as artist executive.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah, I understand totally what you're saying, because after a while, for being an artist for a long time, you know the business. So now it's time for you to be your own boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that I am.
Yeah, and you went over to Def Jam South. You was heading up Def Jam South for a while.
Yeah, you remember when before I made the move, I was telling everybody else, you're ready to shock the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
You did it.
We ready to shock the world again.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, tell me what's up, bro.
Kent.
You're a motherfucker.
You know how girls say, I can't?
Yeah.
Well, guys say, I can't. I can't.
No, I won't.
I will not. Yeah, no, it's cool, man. Shout out to everybody that's tuned in to The Backspin.
Yes. And thank you for listening to The Backspin.
Oh, I fuck with The Backspin. It's big time.
Thank you, my brother.
Fuck that clapping, dude.
Tell me about your time at Def Jam South and Ludacris.
I don't remember much about that. That was when that's when life started flying.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Shit, it was fucking crazy. Life was crazy then. Like, I feel like it was moving so goddamn fast until I missed the whole thing. I did, man. I remember Shaka called me. And, you know, Shaka and I were talking. And I was on a video shoot, the World War III video shoot with Snoop and Swiss and Young and Jada. And we were shooting that video, man. Shaka was saying he was getting ready to go do something else. Somewhere else. I was like, man, please give me the opportunity to make this deal.
Right.
And thank God, you know, for Shaka, because Shaka gave me that opportunity, and Def Jam made the deal, and the rest was history, and I'm proud of, you know, what he's done with himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I always tell people, he's like the most hands-off artist I've ever fucked with.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of artists, like, today and yesterday, kind of need you to babysit them.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on his own shit way back. So for him to be on his own shit and shining now is even more of a fucking self-gratifying moment for me to see him, like, not having to, oh, man, I need Face to make my beats. I need Face to so-and-so. So, nah, Luda was already, he was already hands-free, done deal, doing his own shit.
Come on, son. HBCUs are more than a band, more than a football team. More than Greek life, more than education. Historically Black colleges and universities are a place to become. A legacy with a heritage of more than 180 years of producing some of the nation's top scholars, politicians, entertainers, and individuals. Xfinity understands and celebrates all of this with a collection of TV shows, movies, documentaries, and music that captures the Black college experience. Just say, HBCU into your Xfinity voice remote. Learn about the sacrifices the students made during the Civil Rights Movement. Be inspired by biographies on educators who went above and beyond. Kick back to the sounds of the band or the sounds of the yard with an HBCU playlist. Best of all, it's all included with your Xfinity service. From the yard to the end zone, the classroom to the frat house, Xfinity has the HBCU experience covered. Xfinity, it's the ultimate in Black storytelling. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires Xfinity TV and on demand. Separate charges apply to on demand and certain streaming services.
Come on, son.
In America, we value our freedom and our rights. And at a time when a handful of extremists are determined to take us backwards, civil and human rights advocates are defending our progress and building a better future for us all. At the Leadership Conference Education Fund, we are committed to protecting the rights of everyone in America. We believe that an informed public is not only critical to achieve civil and human rights, but also to making sure those rights endure. Visit www.civilrights.org/edfund to learn more. Paid for by the Leadership Conference Education Fund.
Come on, son, son.
All right, y'all, it's Come On, Son time right here on Come On, Son, the podcast. And I got to get right into it because I got a lot of stuff I need to get off my chest. First of all, a big, gigantic Come On, Son goes out to the guy and the assistant female who worked for R. Kelly for 16 years and 15 years, respectively, and said they saw no one underage around. And the guy's job was to sit at the door at the studio and check IDs. If nobody underage was coming around, why do you need to check IDs? What does that tell you about your boss? I had an assistant, right? And my assistant D worked for me for 10 years. D's job was never to check IDs when women came around me. Never. Why is it your job to check IDs on women? Doesn't that say something about what your boss was up to, bruh? And you're going to tell us that you never saw anybody underage or inappropriate. And his assistant for 16 years. Get it? She only made it till 16 years. You never saw R. Kelly with anybody underage. Come on, son. Get the out of here with that. Are you kidding me? If you think for 1 minute that I believe that, then you making me believe that the names of these two people have been revealed, and they are Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. Come on, son. You have got to be kidding me if you think I believe that you never saw any underage girls with R. Kelly. Come on, man. Who are you, Jose Feliciano? You gonna be blind as a bat if you ain't see that, man. Ain't nobody believing that. And speaking of people nobody believing, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, y'all are two of the biggest liars ever, man. Y'all had everybody thinking that your immigration policies on America was to monitor things but to let people in, yet all of these Haitians are in Texas and they can't get into the country. Kamala, especially you. Joey B, I ain't surprised at you. I ain't surprised. Because once a white man, always a white man. And y'all got cops on horses beating Haitian people with whips? Well, you got somebody out here filming Roots 3? Come on, this ain't slavery anymore. You got to be kidding me, man. Come on, son. Come on, son. On horseback? Oh, no, they was just trying to keep the Haitian people from attacking the horses. Why are they on horses? Why do y'all only pull out the horses with black people? Come on, son. These Haitian people need help, not to be treated like slaves. And y'all said that's not what your immigration policy was going to be about. Yet, you're trying to act like you don't see that it's happening right now. Liars. Come on, son. One strike. You get three, and then we don't vote for you no more. Either one of you. And while I'm on the subject, Kamala, what are you doing? What have you been doing? What have you been doing? Nothing, as far as we can tell, because you're certainly not in there fighting for our reparations that we so desperately need and deserve. Come on, son. Out of here, man. And speaking of the internet, come on, son, to you. Why must y'all compare everything? Now it's all about Kenan Power Book 3. Now y'all want to, is Patina a better actress than Notori? Is Tasha more gangster than Raquel? Come on, son. Two different women, two totally different characters. Yeah, we love what they doing with Kenan Power Book. I mean, Kenan. Why do I keep saying Kenan? Because I got a nephew named Kenan. Come on, son, to me for saying Kenan. Kenan Power Book 3. But let's not get this into a who's better, this, that, and the third thing. All that. Come on, son. Come on, son. This whole Diddy and Jermaine Dupri thing, son. If now y'all trying to turn this into an Atlanta versus New York thing. I'm from New York City, the home of hip-hop, and I'm telling you right now, ATL, no matter how big the stars are, y'all had come from ATL. You don't want no smoke with New York when it comes to music. You don't want no smoke. We go too far back, and we got too many major league hitters. You don't want to smoke. So stop. Let it be a Jermaine Dupri thing and a Puffy thing or a Diddy thing. Let's not get into the comments. Yeah, show them how the ATL do. We've been running y'all. Y'all don't run nothing, B. Sorry, y'all had some great artists, and we all respect them and appreciate that. And Jermaine has put money in my pocket, been my man for a long time. But please don't egg on this Atlanta versus New York versus thing. You don't want the smoke. And speaking of the smoke, Fat Joe. Almost forgot about you, bro. I love you, but you get a come on, son, man, for that versus, bro. You get a giant come on, son, for calling them women dusty bitches. You get a giant come on, son, for talking about Little Mo and Vida like that. Because nobody brought up. Nobody brought up your sister. Your sister. Your sister. Nobody brought up her criminal record. Nobody said nothing about Remy Ma's criminal record. And if Ja would have pulled that out, y'all would have been ready to fight and do whatever. Y'all would have said Ja's out of control. And then you made crack references. You need to feed them bees, is what you said? You might have found them, take them back, found them, get them out. You got them out the crack house or whatever. That was foul. And your apologies afterwards, even when Ja came to you and said, yo, Joe, you got to respect the ladies. You got to respect the ladies. Nobody disrespected Remy, bro. Nobody disrespected Remy. You know the way I look at it, Joe, and I'm going to be honest, I'll be 100 with you all the time. That was desperate because you was getting your butt handed to you by Ja Rule. You went to desperation disrespect because you couldn't handle the fact. And the biggest record that you played was Love. The hook was written by Ja Rule. So I don't even understand why you went there, big homie. And I love you to death, man. But I'm going to tell you when you need a, come on, son. And you just earned yourself one. Congratulations. The first time you ever got one. Come on, son. That was crazy, man. And let's go back to Kanan, man. Don't y'all just love Uncle Marvin and Lulu on Kanan? I know I do. And Kanan, they ain't win no Emmys. Matter of fact, nobody black won an Emmy this year. So come on, son, to the Emmys. And not even posthumously did y'all give my man Michael K. Williams an Emmy. And he was nominated. Nobody that was nominated won an Emmy this year. Nobody. Come on, son. I think the only thing I saw black on the Emmys was Said the Entertainer. Come on, man. Come on, son. To everybody that still put them tuxedos on and go to these award shows knowing how they're going to get treated. Why do you do it? Why do you keep looking to the white man for validation on who you are as a black artist? When you know it's never going to get, you're never going to get it. Viola Davis is one of the biggest actresses in the world, and Meryl Streep still probably makes 4 times as much money a picture as she does. When are y'all going to get that they don't care about you? Stop begging. Then you want to have a movement when you don't win, but do you have a movement when you win? Come on, son. Get it together. Stop bootlicking. Start your own. Come on, son. Get your own. Call it the Black Emmys. Why not? Where are we going to put it, though? Oh, yeah. We sold BET to the white man. Viacom. Come on, son. We're going to put it on our own network, probably the only place we could put it. I don't know how many other black networks there are, really black networks, but BET ain't one of them, though. Come on, son. I'm getting ready to do something with BET, too, but I'm just telling you the truth. It's not a black-owned network anymore. Bob Johnson sold it to Viacom for Billy. We ain't got a lot of outlets, but we need to start doing the black Emmys. We need to start doing the black Oscars. And just do our own thing. Start it off small. There's so many outlets out here. There's so many streaming services. Start it up. Just put it on YouTube. Let's get some tuxedos. The people that we give the Oscars to ain't even got to be there. Matter of fact, I'm doing it. The Black Oscars. I'm starting that. You'll see it on YouTube. I'm going to put a tuxedo on to do the whole thing. Word bond, y'all. Word bond. This is Ed Lover, and it's been, come on, son. And I approve this message. Peace.
Come on, son, son.
This Ed Lover podcast is being done in conjunction with Cigars International. Make sure you check out cigarsinternational.com for all your cigar needs.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.
Come on, son, son.
This Ed Lover podcast is being done in conjunction with Cigars International. Make sure you check out cigarsinternational.com for all your cigar needs.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast is produced, engineered, and edited by Cam Quotes and Krista Hayes. Recorded out of Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast brought to you by Ed Lover. Be sure to check out the return of Come On, Son, the web series exclusively on Patreon.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.